1400 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signing a new partnership that includes a vow of mutual aid if either country is attacked. Cooler weather and the chance of rain could bring some relief to firefighters battling blazes in New Mexico that have killed at least one person so far. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz under investigation by the House Ethics Committee for alleged sexual misconduct. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill.
The House Ethics Committee revealing that it is continuing to probe Gaetz over explosive allegations, including that he engaged in sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, accepted improper gifts, and that he sought to obstruct government investigations of his conduct.
Sources say one woman testified a Venmo payment from Gaetz was for sex. Others say they were paid to attend parties with him. Gaetz denies the allegations. The nation saying goodbye to Willie Mays, who once said he thought he had a love affair with the game of baseball. He was 93. This is ABC News. The pastor of a megachurch based in Texas stepping down after admitting he sexually abused a girl for several years, starting when she was just 12. Robert Morris is the founder of Gateway Church. Cindy Klemchire has come forward about the abuse, which she says started in 1982. ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
At first, the church stood by Morris, saying he shared publicly from the pulpit the proper biblical steps he took in this lengthy restoration process. But the board has now released a new statement after accepting his resignation, saying it did not have all the facts of the inappropriate relationship between Morris and the victim.
The FDA now says Dollar Tree stores left pouches of tainted applesauce on its shelves for months after they had been recalled. Dollar Tree says new management is addressing the issue. The Stanley Cup Final heading back to Edmonton Friday night after the Oilers avoided elimination again, beating the Panthers. Florida still has a 3-2 lead. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
What's on tap? Brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew because we're from Milwaukee too. Tastes like Miller time.
Following Brewers Sunday home games, all kids ages 14 and under can come down to the field and run the bases at American Family Field, courtesy of Aurora Healthcare. The post-game kids run the bases line begins along the first baseline on the field level.
Milwaukee Brewers Baseball and Miller Lite.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump tells a rally in Wisconsin Tuesday that he wants to be the law and order president.
I will be the president for law-abiding Americans, every background. Every walk of life, every race, religion, color, and creed, I'll be the president.
Trump was convicted of 34 felonies in a recent hush money trial. Trump campaigned in Racine. Wisconsin's Supreme Court will hear a challenge to Governor Evers' 400-year school funding increase. Evers used his line item veto to make changes that give Wisconsin schools a per-pupil funding boost for the next four centuries. Wisconsin governors have sweeping veto powers, but the courts have put limits on striking single words or letters. Justices announced Monday that they will take the case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers jumped out to an early lead and held on to beat the Angels in Anaheim 6-3. Toby Myers good on the mound through 7 scoreless innings. Christian Yelich with his 200th career home run. And how about Jackson Churio turning a double into a 3-run inside the park Little League home run? Top of the 4th on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Churio down the right field line, just over the bag and into the corner it goes. Frelich will score. Sanchez, he's going to score as that ball gets away from Adele. Churio thinking about home. The throw is late. Churio in a belly flop. He goes all the way around to to score. Three runs are in.
Pat Murphy asked if he knew Chirio could run that fast.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's got that kind of speed. He's got that kind of talent.
Hockey, the Florida Panthers missing a chance to win a Stanley Cup at home. They lost to the Oilers 5-3. The series now moves to Edmonton, with the Panthers still up 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and a high near 82, a little breezy this afternoon. For tonight, showers and storms and a low around 64. Slight chance of a shower Thursday, otherwise partly sunny, highs to the mid-70s. Friday, showers and storms and a high of 82.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy Juneteenth, Wisconsin. I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson, former griot of the American Black Holocaust Museum, award-winning author and Wisconsin historian. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, ordering windows in an older home can be a real challenge. The way they did things in 1900 is a little different than today, which is why many people with historic homes, such as ones built in 1915, reach out to Pella. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that matches architecture from any era. Really doesn't matter what kind of a home you live in. They offer nearly endless possibilities in design flexibility and sizes, custom colors, finishes, and so much more. And if you order today from Pella, get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends on the 30th. They stand the test of time. Give them a call. Check them out. Free in-home consultation. Visit PellaWI.com. Today.
Love him.
Yes. Hey, we love this guy, Grant Soletsky, who is in the 127 32nd Division of the United States National Guard, based right here in Green Bay. A very, very proud and prestigious group, wouldn't you say, in their history over time?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know the little history of the 32nd in World War II?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
New Guinea.
No. Nope.
And then Luzon.
Well, yeah, everything.
New Guinea, Luzon, Philippines.
So the 32nd has the longest running concurrent time in World War II of any branch, any reserve, active, whatever it is. I think it was like 632 days.
Yeah, and they actually, you know, everybody says that Guadalcanal was the first victory, and it really wasn't. New Guinea actually was, because they cleaned the Japanese out of Buna before Guadalcanal was completely solidified. So, and they went right from Port Moresby all the way up through the mountains. And it was one of the worst things, worst conditions on the face of the earth, Jim. This is no lie. And these are a bunch of kids from Wisconsin and the UP and places like that. It was the worst. MacArthur screwed them over so bad. They had like winter equipment and guys were like, they had no, it was terrible. Their uniforms just literally rotting right off of them. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And they were like serious headhunters living in those, like, if you got lost or you got left, and these headhunters would find you, they would literally cut your heads off and hang them because that was a sign of masculinity for them. It was horrible, and they took on the Imperial Japanese Army, which was one of the best fighting forces in the history of the world. And these kids from Wisconsin and Michigan in the Midwest, who were just all normal people, they weren't professional soldiers. They were, you know, once a week they would drill because they would get a dollar for each drill, and the beer was 5 cents, and that's where they would join. And all of a sudden, they're taking on the most fierce army in the world, and they beat them.
And kicking butt.
And kicking butt. It's incredible what the 127, the 32nd Division did.
Yep.
Just incredible.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So congratulations on being a part of that, Grant. Yeah,
are you still getting those kind of people?
Here and there.
So Grant is a recruiter.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm
Grant's recruiter at the 127.
Right. So you've been there for a little while.
I joined in 2013.
Okay.
I joined as an old man. I was 34 when I got in. So,
okay.
But yeah, I'm an infantry guy. That's what I joined as, and now obviously a recruiter. But my first go-to is to find the killers out there.
The killers. What's the talent pool, so to speak, out there these days for the military?
It's there. It's just you gotta. It's sorry.
That's okay.
Talking in front of the mic.
You do whatever you want. I'm just
trying to drink coffee and talk at the same time. The talent pool's there. We spend a lot of time in high schools. Obviously, it's summer break right now, so I really enjoy summer break to get out because, well, sitting in high schools all day is something. But I would say 1% is our like our number, right? 1% of the population serves in some form or fashion.
Yep.
And that rings true for the most part. The force that we're really looking for, especially in the National Guard, is the adult force. The people who've been in it for a while, people who've run a business, people who know about the different functionalities of starting in the mailroom. You know, like start at the bottom of a business and you work your way up. That's the same thing in the military. You start as a private. You're taking out the garbage. You're sweeping the floors. And when we can get people that appreciate that route from the civilian side and be able to come into the guard, like they understand. So it's not like a lot of kids nowadays, you tell them to clean their room and you sweep the floor. Like, that's below me.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to get people to understand. And then in order to get them to flow through and to gain rank and to go up through the process, like, you have to start there. And if they're not willing to do that, then they go away.
Forget it. Yeah.
That is so important. And I think even in business, you see that when you bring someone in and they, like we always joke about, they want to start on second base or third base. It's just like,
and acts like they hit a triple.
Well, you don't learn as much either. You're not as effective as a manager unless you did work your way up, and you can move rather quickly.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like it's a forever. And I think some people look at that. Yep. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about, with the listeners that we have out here, how difficult it is. I mean, you don't take anybody. And I think when Johnny and I were in school,
don't take just anybody.
Well, remember when we were in high school, it's like, well,
they would take anybody. Actually, the bottom of the rung sometimes were the main ones that would go after.
It's not like
and
that.
And I hate to say, I hate to be put it that way, but.
But here we are 50 years or 40 years later. You guys are, after the best.
It was the last option, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. Now it's between the ASVAB. ASVAB's just the ACT of the Army. And by gosh, out of 10 that we send from local high schools, not all, local meaning statewide, I would say, out of 10, 3 pass.
Wow.
And 31 is the minimum to get in. And we just have a struggle with that. And then on top of that, law violations, if you have any medical history, you took ADHD medication. Well, through COVID, right? So we had antidepressants, anxiety medication, and ADHD. Those three pills, hand them out like candy.
Right.
And you take them, it's 3 years.
You can't get in.
No.
Wow. You know, I actually had a judge suggest to me one time, this is no lie, when I was in high school, because I got a couple of little tickets, I got in some trouble with whatever, okay? And he said, you ever think about joining the military to get straightened out? Honest to God.
Yeah. Is your dad standing next to you?
No. Actually, I went to talk to the judge on my own, so to convince him not to get it in the paper what happened, or whatever, so my dad wouldn't see it. It was just an accident. It wasn't anything major, but it was one of those things where, you know. But, you know, another thing with those days versus these days, Grant, is once the, you know, when I was the last class that had to register for the draft. Okay. So you probably, you're a year behind me. You wouldn't have, I was the last group like that had to, then it was never, you know, and then it started up again a few years later. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is when they were talking about a volunteer army, I remember everybody saying, there's no way nobody's going to join you. Cause it seemed like such a, like you said, last resort, you know, people were getting drafted and they hated getting drafted and they'd come back and tell people don't join. Don't, you know, it was a really, really tough time. Yep. In the mid 70s, but I am shocked, or not shocked, but pleasantly shocked, I guess, that when 9/11 happened, boy, our people, men and women, it was almost like a World War II thing lining up.
Yeah.
Sign me up, join. Is that still there? Is that patriotic feeling still there?
No.
No. Okay.
So, and that's what the numbers are compared to, in my opinion.
Okay.
The numbers are compared to early time, like recruitment numbers,
right?
As far as force goes. The patriotism is still there. It's just not in mass.
Okay.
But
I want to know what you think about, there's countries that you serve 2 years. Israel. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think every single kid right now should serve 2 years of civic service of some form or fashion.
We had a basketball player at UW Green Bay from Norway, and he, same thing. He loved it. He said it's the greatest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just gain so much. One, you go off the basic training by yourself. You have to go and fall down by yourself and get up by yourself and create this whole.
How tough is basic training these days compared to the old days?
It varies per drill sergeant and per cycle. Because everyone, so once a group of drill sergeants come into their cycle, their group, it's their group.
Right.
So there's a set regimen of what they have to do in the training. But as far as their how they
treat the people,
how they treat them, and how the rewards for screwing up happen, that's all on them. So some people have a really decent, okay time, and some people just get their butts kicked every day.
But you get your butt kicked?
Oh, yeah. They hated me because I was old.
But you're in such amazing shape, and you're a CrossFit instructor.
No, I was good, but I was, dude, they beat me up.
Wow.
Because I was old, so they was like, you think you know everything, old man? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. Like,
yeah. Holy
But Grant, what you're saying is, I wanted you to talk through the 2 years. What a gift that would be to spend 2 years. But that first time is just more individual. I can do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I think
self-confidence.
Some people lack that. And
what he said about going off by yourself. You don't have
you're scared.
Buddy to lean on.
I like that.
No one wants to make a dive into doing things these days. It's all, I'm going to wait for the perfect moment. I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to wait for this. And the moment comes and goes like the wind. So it's like for these people that go out and do this and they go and prove to themselves that they can do this and they come back from basic training, shoulders up. Yeah. Ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome.
Whether you're going to go to college or get a job, whatever it is, they have these skills now. From like, in order to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. Simple as that. Like, you have to be able to follow your leadership. And employees these days have a very tough time following that management. Whether it's they're 18 and the kid that's managing is 19.
Yeah.
And there's headbutting going on with that, but in the military they do that in the same age kind of groups, same thing, and they learn how to like roger that, just go get the job done. You may not agree or disagree, whatever it is, with the person who's giving you these orders or this direction, but you go do it, get it done, and you grow.
I find that really interesting. We had 1,000 employees where I worked, and different ages, right? It would go from, I don't, maybe not 18, but I shouldn't say that. I was younger than that. But in the summer, we had kids from the pool, and then we've got people who are in their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to learn how to talk to the different groups in their language in terms of, you know, somebody like my age.
I get what you're saying.
But in the military, they don't do that, huh? It's just like one language?
Well, we kind of have to, though. So we've had to change our ways a little bit. Like, we have to modify a little bit to this new, because the new group, the new generation is why. Like, why? And before, it's like, it doesn't matter your why. But the problem is now you don't tell them their why, and they just break down and stop.
Wow.
And so we need to figure out, we had to, like, and specifically me, because I'm just that guy, like, just go do it.
Right.
Stop being a,
right.
a few random swear
right,
words
right,
and
right,
get
right,
it done.
Right.
And that doesn't work.
I'll be darned.
So,
are you
yes.
even allowed to swear?
Oh, I don't know, but I do.
I think the answer is yes.
This is scotch, but.
You know, I will say this. So you mentioned about when, the shoulders are out after. The Marine recruiters years ago, 10 years ago, maybe more, had me go to San Diego to shoot a video for them.
Okay.
That they're going to use for when they go to schools and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because they're right there at the footprints where they come off the bus. But what I was saying is then we're also there when they came off the Crucible, which is the toughest. It's the end. It's the final exam, so to speak.
Yep.
It's so difficult. You can't believe it. And here's these drill instructors, and they're tough dudes who had just been beating these people for months and months. And now he's like, I can't tell you how proud I am of you.
Yeah,
let me tell
cool.
you something.
Yeah.
I thought I broke you, and you showed me. You want to talk about this 150-pound kid all of a sudden swelling with
chest?
That's exactly
out, yeah.
right. It was the greatest moment of their lives, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Grant Swaletsky is joining us right now. He's from the 32nd Army Recruiter. And we're going to talk a little CrossFit as well. Back after this.
CrossFit. Detroit, Chicago, Chattanooga, Baton Rouge. Got a long just to be at my home back in
North. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June as Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ+ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Wednesday morning, being joined by Grant Zielinski, United States Army recruiter at the 32nd Division down on military and a former owner of a CrossFit gym.
Mm-hmm.
Gym, my gym next to me here, still does not believe I did CrossFit.
I sure did.
Oh, come on, Grant.
Yep. Yeah, it was 2010? Right when I opened.
So. Yeah, right when you opened. Yeah. Because I think your sister or somebody contacted me and said...
Is that how I got hooked up? I was talking about it
on the radio, and she said, you got to, because I was talking about, I got to find a new way to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got one for you. And I thought, oh, okay, it's a gym. I'll go down there. I'll do a couple of things. Ooh.
So,
it was,
Grant,
didn't know CrossFit was a different animal.
What happened?
Well, nothing really.
Like, yeah, you're right.
He came in.
He's honest.
He slimmed down for a little while.
I lost 11 pounds.
Yeah,
remember that?
Good. You busted your butt. It was you and my mother-in-law, Lois, were there a lot.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember her.
Absolutely.
Yep. She's still there today.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, why, good for her.
Yeah. Well, John, if Lois is still there.
Well, he sold the gym.
Was Johnny there till you sold the gym?
No.
No, but I.
See, he comes up with.
I got a new hip. I had to get an artificial hip.
I got an artificial hip. Grant,
my hip was hurting so bad.
So John wants me.
Todd. Hey, you want to have a little burpee contest?
No, I just want to say I want to hear this from Grant because he is the owner of CrossFit and in is unbelievable shape. Can you still be in shape with an artificial hip and work out at CrossFit?
Actually, artificial hips are they're pretty quick recovery.
Some
for a full transplant.
Full thing.
We have people in the gym that have artificial hips.
Okay, see John.
Yes, and you can be a phenomenal. But it all starts in the kitchen.
All right. There you go.
I still say some of those exercises or some of those things, whatever you want to call them, in CrossFit are as grueling as any sporting activity that you can come up with. Would you agree?
So the way I look at it, it mimics real life.
If
you don't know what's going to be in front of you today.
That's right.
Whether it's raking a giant pile of leaves or moving a pile of rocks or whatever it may be that you have in front of you, CrossFit is full range of motion of everything, right? So shoulders, legs, core, you name it, you're doing it. Like, here's your job, go do it. It's very military, too.
Because
he is personal trainer. We're just going to talk about this.
Okay.
They have to hold him up because he can't do a lunge without falling
over. That's not true, John. He's never been there.
Todd, did he say that to you?
I did not say that.
He uses a pole. That's all we know.
Oh, yeah, you have to have walking poles now to do lunges.
Just one pole on occasion.
Okay. Ski poles.
So Tom Fambre was on our show.
Oh, Tommy was?
Yes.
Yep.
Remember him? He won the CrossFit, and he was 62?
He's still competing.
He is.
Yeah, he made it again to the games this year. He's going on 4 years now that he made it.
Okay, I was just going to say it's not too late for John to rejoin.
It's not too late.
Okay, that's my point.
It's not too late for you to join.
Yeah, good point.
Why don't you guys do it together for a week?
I would do it if you do it.
We can hardly make it through this show.
I do it. Todd says, yep.
Yeah.
You know what I could not do, though, no matter what? The rings.
Like muscle ups?
The rings where you have to lift yourself up and do weird things on the rings.
Yeah, I would just
I don't have that gymnastics aspect.
I would say 95% of people can't. But 5%, but it's a goal to attain to. So that's another thing with CrossFit. There's always something you stink at and you're like, I want to do that.
But the difference if somebody's just watching CrossFit,
the difference is there's not a lot of excuses. But go ahead, John.
It's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, I remember even with the barbells, okay, it had to be done perfectly. I remember you screaming at me, no. I mean, one thing about CrossFit, it's got to be just exact, right?
Well, so it's repetition of movement. So like cleaning a barbell, snatching a barbell, whatever movement it is with a barbell, deadlifting, squatting, whatever. There's mechanics to it. And it's a repetition of mechanics over and over and over and over again that is going to create. So we can chase perfection, obviously. Like, we're never going to get there. But that's the goal. So that's what. I was such a pain in your butt back in the day.
But you were on me.
Yeah.
And John, how long was he there? 10 days?
A couple months.
A couple months, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He would show up every time he was supposed to be there.
I never missed
The nice thing about CrossFit, we were talking, that's not the most expensive workout regarding equipment. You know, you go to Western and, I don't know, they may have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, but I mean, CrossFit something you can do with
That's
the
how I started it. So I started in my garage, and I also wanted to start a gym, but I didn't have the money to put out $250,000 for, like, just your tiny gym with the equipment. Right. But for CrossFit, I'm like, I could do it for $30K, and that's a handshake loan at the bank. And I knew Brent Jensen back in the day. He used to be associated in Business Bank. I think he's at Community First now. But anyhow, he's like, yeah, good to go. And I bought a few wall balls, bought a few rowers, a few barbells, and then, because you were in the first place.
Yep.
And it was a whole, like, we took a daycare, tore out the,
The
second floor. God rest in peace, Mike Krajewski. And we just started there, and slowly but surely we built up. So every new member, every month that I was a little in the black, it took me like 3 months to get in the black. Then once I got there, I just bought new stuff. I almost swore. and just kept slowly but surely building up. And then when I sold it, we had a, 10,000 square foot facility with
nice.
And I'm a hoarder of equipment. Oh, I bought everything.
That's cool.
And that's how that gym grew to what it is today.
What's harder, a really tough CrossFit workout session or a day in boot camp?
I would say a day in basic training for sure.
Okay.
There are horrible workouts, but you're never going to go over an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
But basic training, like, you're up 0-4, and then occasionally you have this all-night crap, and, it's a long,
Do you
long
guys do
run.
The rappelling walls?
Yep, so the first week of basic training, you go through, like, the team building and the confidence building, and, yep, rappel wall is one of them.
Jim says he was really good at that in ROTC.
I was scared to death of it.
I rappelled off Lambo.
Did you? No way.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was scared, though. I'll admit that. I did not like that.
No.
Because you have to trust the rope and let go, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, and you have to hold rope with your hands and not screw up.
But you're not really holding. You're really kind of guiding.
Guiding it through,
You're not really holding the rope. And guys say, let go. And I'm like, dude, I do not want to let go.
You fart or sneeze and you're like.
Right. That's
the fear.
And that's high. Then we repelled at St. Norbert. That was like nothing. Yeah. But that Lambo was up
like
there.
Where on Lambo did you do that?
Right off the top of the building. It was a fundraiser. So we could get $1,000.
So with the firefighters or something?
No, it wasn't the firefighters. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, rappelling is, but you don't have a choice in basic training, right? You're going to rappel.
You're going to rappel. And you do it. And so that's one of those confidence things. You go there and, like myself, like, dear sweet baby Jesus, no. And I did it and got up there. And by the time I got down, I'm like, oh, that was super fun. I'm like, I'd do that again. And as I walked away and didn't do it again.
Yeah. Well, even like at the Marine thing I was at, they've got the thing, I think it's called Stairway to Heaven, where it's almost, I remember in the movie Full Metal Jacket, they've got that. It's almost like old telephone poles, you know, horizontal going up, but they're all different lengths apart from each other and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so a shorter guy would have a tougher or whatever, and no safety net. There's like wood chips on the bottom. Yep. And if you fall
80
feet, you fall. Yep. And I told people, I said, I don't think I could ever do that. I said, if you were in, you would do it. I said, he said, you'll be so afraid of that drill instructor on what's going to happen to you if you don't, on how he's going to make your life so miserable that you will do it.
Yeah, and the fear of failure.
The fear of failure amongst the other guys.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Huge motivator for
myself.
And
peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. And you're just supposed to say how much you learn from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just talk, that's a life skill.
Yeah.
That, you know, that confidence, shoulders back, and
it's I can attitude.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Grant, first of all, I'm just really proud of you. I mean, 34 to join the military, the way you did it was just phenomenal. What you're doing now.
Thanks so much.
In the last few seconds, and first of all, thanks for the
gifts.
Thanks for the MREs.
You're welcome, just in case you got hungry.
Going to have some beef strips and a savory tomato-based sauce.
Yeah, should be pretty tasty.
Oh, yay.
If somebody's thinking about joining the National Guard, what should they do?
Yeah, contact Sergeant Seletsky, 920-915-0246. With your only reserve element in the state of Wisconsin, offers 100% college education, and you get to pick your job as long as you score well on that ASVAB.
Can't beat that.
I like that. I sound like you.
You know, that was good. Grant. That thanks was great. So much for being here. Great to see you, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick break. Back up this. You got it tough. I've seen the
toughest around. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Our Wisconsin state senators and representatives may not be in session in Madison, but they're still hearing from constituents all across the state. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. One item that seems to be popping up more frequently these days, urban sprawl and its consumption of Wisconsin farmland. Wisconsin Senator Joan Bollwig is hearing from constituents. She said whether it's a solar array project that's going in your neighborhood or a new housing project, she says Wisconsin's got to take a look at different options that help to keep farmland in place.
There's a federal program that Wisconsin maybe needs to get on board with. It's called PACE, the Purchase of Agricultural Conservation Easement. So it's not purchasing the land. It's providing an easement to that landowner so that they can keep farming and keep that land as good productive farmland.
That's Wisconsin Senator Joan Bollwig from Marquesan, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee. She said one piece of business that got finished last term was basically creating a bill that allows Wisconsin's Towns Association and our County Association to work a little bit more cooperatively when it comes to thinking long term on how rural land in their communities is being used. Not towns versus counties, but towns with counties. Welcome to today's Merck Minute with special guest Austin Snook, U.S. Dairy Marketing Manager for Merck Animal Health. Some exciting things happening at Merck Animal Health. Austin, talk to me about the new M-Power product and the dairy portfolio that Merck Animal Health has built. It's different from other industry portfolios, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really having all these solutions under one entity looking at biopharma, monitoring, and identification allows us to offer a fully integrated experience for customers so that each of our products amplifies the other to help them all work together and work better than ever before. And so really that translates to more efficiency and better performance for dairy producers.
Excellent. Thanks, Austin. Austin Snook, U.S. Dairy Marketing Manager for Merck Animal Health, along with us. That's today's Merck Minute. Learn more at empowerdairy.com. And for farms in Wisconsin that want to try to expand, it can be a very, very complicated permitting process. Now, Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative has announced they're rolling out a brand new program they call Maestro that will provide farms with tools and resources to help them navigate the permitting process. You can find out more about the Maestro program and other food-related news items on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a quick snapshot of what's happening in food news on a Wednesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and a high near 82, a little breezy this afternoon. For tonight, showers and storms and a low around 64. Slight chance of a shower Thursday, otherwise partly sunny, highs to the mid-70s. Friday, showers and storms and a high of 82.
Currently, 75 degrees.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for a dollar off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support. 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and...
Oh,
got some news. Don't you tell Daddy, he'll blow a fuse. Don't worry, I'm doing okay.
There's a reason we're playing this song.
I know you raised me to know right from wrong. It ain't
do you know this song?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know why we're playing this song?
Is it because she's from the South?
Yeah. And you know where she's from in this song?
Tennessee.
Nope.
No, that's Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. Hang on. Very special reason I'm playing this song. Have you ever heard this song? It's a great song.
It's been a long song.
You know, it's been a long So in this song, she's from Athens, Georgia, but she met a guy who's from, hang on.
And I wore the hat on his dash to the game. Sure was in Athens, but I never
got that.
There you go. All right. So it's a song about this girl from Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
Whose family is like diehard. I mean, that's where the University of Georgia is.
Oh, man, you got to be down there.
I bet, huh?
You have to be.
Well, Todd, that's why I said when I ever retire, I'm going to spend a fall traveling from college football to college football games. And Athens, Georgia is one of the places I want to go.
So I work for some stations down there, right?
Right.
Going to a game is, I mean, you're talking about a Packer game?
Right.
Just
college
take
football
a step
is
aside.
So much better than take NFL a step games. Aside.
Thank you.
I know, right?
Yes. Isn't it?
So you are from Athens, Georgia.
Yep.
This is Rochelle Jordan from Dominion Title and Exchange. Sitting in for Ben and Deanna Malcor. But yeah, but the song is about this girl from Athens, Georgia, who meets this boy she really likes from Tennessee, and they're huge rivals. It'll be like Packers, Vikings.
Right.
And she's like, you know, she has a hard time explaining to her mom that she's becoming kind of a Tennessee fan, and her dad would go crazy in Athens because whatever. And that's your hometown.
Yes.
So that's why we played that song.
And it is a sin.
It is.
I guess. I bet.
I love it. They preach Athens, it in they church. Call it a sin.
They preach it in church.
Yes.
I got to ask, how'd you get up here then?
Well, my husband, he is from here, so he drugged me back, kicking and screaming. I'm just kidding. I chose to come up. But yes, that's my husband. He was working down south, and we met that way and did long distance for a while. And I was actually a closer down south and found a job up here at Dominion, and so I took it and came on up.
Was he in the military?
No, he was working for an environmental firm.
So I had two brothers that were in the service in Georgia, Fort Benning and Fort Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nope. He just was working down there doing environmental stuff and happened to find him that way.
You haven't lost your accent.
I love it.
So do I. That's very cool.
Love it.
I've only been up here a year and a half, so I'm still fresh.
All right.
Well, if you really laid it on, if you were talking to somebody from back in Georgia, how would that go?
Oh, hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Love it. Love it. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Ben and Deanna Malcor and Bay Area Realty and Berkshire Hathaway and the whole thing.
Yeah, so Dominion Title has a little satellite office in Ben and Deanna's office here over here at Berkshire Hathaway. And we are there for any of their needs, questions, concerns, anything like that. But I work over there Mondays and Wednesdays. And yeah, I'm really just there to be a liaison for anything they might have.
In-house title, right on the corner of Broadway and Walnut.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think people understand just how critical that piece is in the real estate transaction.
Absolutely. You
know? And the problem with real estate, why I was a little bit frustrated, and I did that as a broker for a while, is you have to rely on so many other people. You know, it's not like you can do everything, right? You need the title company, obviously need the bank.
Title can make or it can break a transaction.
And you seem like the person that would make it. I mean, it's just, you know, you want to have some good energy and...
Yeah. Well, we have a sign on our desk that says everything is figure outable, and we live by that. No is not an answer in real estate, right?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. How do you like it living up in Green Bay versus Athens, Georgia?
Well, we got the same G, so I'm okay with that.
That's right. It's the same exact logo.
Just a different color.
I know.
But I love it. You know, January and February are a little bit lame, but we'll make it through.
We'll go with lame. Okay. Could be worse than that. Did you go to Georgia?
No, I didn't go to Georgia. I went to the School of Hard Knocks Community College. I just grew up there.
Where? In Georgia?
Yeah, it was called Athens Tech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you, when Georgia used to have their, they're still real, I mean, they're phenomenal in football, and you've seen the Packers up here. Mm-hmm. What is a more fervent fan base? What is a bigger day, Packers Sunday or Georgia Football Saturday?
Well, I would say Georgia football Saturday, only because we got a bajillion more people down there than we do up here.
Yeah, it is, huh?
But the fans that are here are diehard in their own way. I think drinking's a little bit more popular up here, so you see the crowd a little differently.
I'd never been to a Southern football game before, okay? Until, and I still wasn't in a certain, but when LSU came to town, those fans were crazy passionate. I mean, on like every play. I mean, you know, Packer fans, you might sit around, you're drinking, you're talking about whatever, and what happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. Those people, I'll never forget, were so into that game and every play that happened and whatever. It wasn't there for the social ad. Maybe beforehand it was.
Sure.
But during that game, it was serious.
Well, yes. And they get feisty. You know, if you go to those games, just be on your P's and Q's because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yep. But they were some of the best fans we had up
no
there.
Oh, no question.
And they, like, 3-4 days they were here. Like, those people travel. They don't just come in for the game and leave. They came to Green Bay. And, of course, Jim Kratowicz used to run Titletown. Put together some pretty cool events over there.
The Badger Band.
The Badger
Band
came here. We had a parade. Mm. And you look out there, and I mean, there was a lot of red, but there was a whole lot of LSU fans there.
Which was great because, you know, to be honest with you,
they were super nice.
I've been to a lot of Big Ten games, and they're not. Opposing fans aren't like that. Like, if Minnesota fans came here for, you know, to take on the Badgers, it's not a friendly mingling. And there was a really friendly mingling between the LSU people and the Wisconsin people.
Absolutely.
Southern nice, my friends.
They really were. And I want to say the city did a pretty good job. We had the Pulaski Band, which is a great band here. Greet them at when the planes came in, because they chartered quite a few planes. I was surprised by that too. And when they came off, we were playing their fight song and ours. But it was just a great. It started off really well and ended really well. We won the game. But it was just, and the weather was perfect, right?
Yeah, I mean, that helped. Perfect. Beautiful. That was one of the greatest advanced Southerner Packer game ever in this area, I thought.
I take that over some of those Packer games.
I take it well over some of the Packer games. No question about it. Just anyway, had a vibrancy to it.
It was just, and we were so excited to have the Badgers here, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're college people, but you got to go down Camp Randall to see them, and they were here at Lambeau. And you know, their band is second to none. So it was just the whole weekend, all 4 days was just great. So, hey, tell me, how's the real estate business from the title perspective?
Man, it's wishy-washy right now, you know. So some days you're super busy and you can't see straight. And then other days it's like, where's everybody at? I think it's like that for everybody, lenders and agents involved. I think all together we're noticing the difference in interest rates. Housing prices still really haven't come down. Some have, some haven't. So we're just navigating the waters of that. But I feel like I've seen a little bit of an influx of for sale by owners. I don't know what's up with that. I haven't asked, but
they would still go to you though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to close no matter what with us.
Right.
But I don't know. I have some people, it's a lot of estate for sell by owners, or people whose parents pass away. And stuff
I will
like
say this. I forget what street it is here in Green Bay, Jim. And I was going to mention this to you. Two houses next to each other have both had for sale signs up probably 2 weeks now. And that was unheard of about a year ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe the prices are so high that, because, you know, you can out. So many people say, oh my God, you got to ask for X number more.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a friend who knows how to do it. So maybe they did that and, you know, that determines the market too.
Yes, true.
Right. But that was surprising because it wasn't that long ago. It would be 2 days. It'd be accepted offer signs would be on the thing.
Well, you know, that's still happening. Some houses are getting off the market within 24 hours as soon as they hit, and others aren't. I don't know. It just really depends on where you're at in town, what the money looks like, and all the situations.
You're exactly right. Yep.
I think, you know, Bay Area really aligns themselves with quality. Like I said, there's a lot of people in a transaction. It's just not the realtor. I think some people think, oh, the realtor does everything. Well, they need a good title company.
Yeah.
But I'll say one of the reasons those houses might be on is you guys have a great inspector, too, who was just on last
Andy.
Week.
Yes.
And Andy, there could be a foundation thing, and that's until you can negotiate who's going to pay that 20, 25 grand to get that wall fixed. But the title is so important and can delay it. How do you expedite it?
So expediting, I mean, we just really get on it. As soon as we get in that order, we immediately start searching it so that there is no delays. So if you have, say, like a 2 week closing, so from the day we get it and it's closing in 2 weeks, we make sure that within that 5 day range, we're making sure title is clear and good to go. And if for any reason it's not, we're hitting it right in the head and going straight forward with it and making sure that everybody knows what's going on and that we get it resolved beforehand.
You know, I was reading an article about, I get just those things pop up in your emails or once you're registered or certain something, but it's NRA, you know, the national things they sent out. And one of the things was some people were complaining about closing costs, okay, and blaming, like, the title people. And they're like, hey, we don't, you know, like, certain things that get done, we don't fix those rates.
Right.
That's what we're paying them.
Yeah.
But they were coming after, like, the... you guys,
yeah,
because thinking you guys raised a bunch of rates, you guys didn't,
yeah,
but all these other things did, correct?
Correct, yeah. So our underwriters set what the policies, the owner's policy and the lender's policy for that. And so they're set state rates, you know, and if they decide they want to go up, then they go up, which has happened. Last year it went up, and yep, then this year it's going up again. So,
and who pays the title?
So buyer pays lenders, and the seller pays for the owner's title insurance.
Right. And that's an expense that's all laid out before, yep, the closing. Any surprises? You sound like you've been doing this for a while. You know what you're doing. But sometimes you get into the closing, mm-hmm, and it's like, what?
Yeah, well, you know, special assessments, that definitely will throw a surprise in there. But no, generally it should be run in the mill, right?
Right.
Let's pay off your water, your mortgage. Here's my title fees. We're paying some commission. If there's a lender involved, we're paying the lender's fees off, and then we call it a day. Right. Surprises really only come if street improvements, curb and gutter work, anything like that happens, or... I don't know.
Well, they got to disclose that anyway, so you, yeah, just,
and
you know.
One of the things that said in that article that went up was the, what's it called? I'd flunk the test if I had to take it today. But the in-between time before it sold and bought, the insurance.
The gap coverage?
Gap coverage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that gap coverage covers from the time we search the property until it closes. So if my examiner searched it on the 15th, it's not closing till the 25th, then that effective date is on the 15th. So we need a gap coverage to cover that time.
Exactly. And people are like, why are you charging me so much? What?
You're not. You refresh, like, all the time.
Exactly.
Refresh.
Absolutely.
Anything people, if they're dealing with Hathaway or dealing with you, that they can make your job easier?
I think communication. It's just the most important, right? Like, I love to know my practices. As soon as I get the order, I call people and I ask what their expectations are. Like, what time frame are you looking at? How do you want to get in contact with me? Stuff like that. So it's always nice to know what people are expecting. That way you can't let them down. And so if I know going into a file what people are expecting of me, what they were hoping for, then I can give them that service. It's when the communication doesn't necessarily go that far and then people's expectations don't get met. So say, like, title doesn't get done in 5 days because it just took a little bit longer because it's a harder, yeah, search or whatever. Yeah.
So your company, like, is Dominion Title and Exchange.
Yes, sir.
Where are you?
We're off Riverside Drive.
Okay.
And are you, that's a big name. Are you a national company or is it your, tell me how the structure is on,
yeah,
that.
So we are the only little section of Dominion Title here, but we are a big subsidiary of a place called TMI Holdings, which has a whole bunch of title companies.
So you can do things out of state. You can work with anybody, really.
Yeah, so we have a sister office in Rochester, Minnesota, that we do a lot of work with.
Okay.
Especially, are you like dealing with Ben and Deanna?
I love Ben and Deanna. They're so fun.
Sweet. Aren't they fun? We
they
love
are.
Them.
They're really sweet.
We love them. And she knows her wine.
Yes, she does.
And they're I think they're getting back today.
Yeah. Yeah, from they've Alaska. Been having fun in Alaska.
They are. I got an email from them yesterday, so we're working with them on a project. So.
Well, it's great, yeah, having you here, though.
Yes, yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So you're a Falcons fan, too?
Gosh, no.
Oh. Oh, really?
No. We'll see how Kirk Cousins does. I might be a fan after that. But right now, I'll stick to the Packers.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She's in retail sales. She's
got... I got common sense.
She knows where the old bread is buttered.
Oh, yeah.
What was really a cool connection, and Javon Bullard, who joined the Packers from Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in him because I used to follow him in high school football down there. I would run games and stuff like that.
No He's kidding. Kidding.
So,
that is impressive.
Yeah, several
That's
years
awesome.
Of him.
Now he's Isn't in Green Bay. Fun when you get to see somebody like that in high school and then they, yeah, move on like that?
Absolutely.
All the way. I think that's one of the cool things. Well, Rochelle, it's great having you here. Come back again anytime. You got about 30 seconds. Best tip you can give for somebody that's looking to buy a house right now as far as what they're going to deal with and where to go for title.
Yeah, don't forget us. Dominion Title off Riverside Drive, right across from the prison. And we love you guys, and anything is possible. And it's all figured out.
Standing. You're the best. Rochelle Jordan, Dominion Title and Exchange. Thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you.
Go Dogs.
Yes, go Dogs.
Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. 78 right now in Green Bay, 77 in Appleton, 75 in Oshkosh. How high did it get yesterday?
92.
Wow, that's incredible.
Cameron had the 3 degree, and I think he picked 90. So
he wins.
It was 92 on my phone. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Maybe it was 93 somewhere else. But all right. Anyway.
If I sit on my balcony today, I'll put a little thermometer by there to see what it take. I'll take a picture of the glistening, if you'd like.
We wouldn't. I don't know.
No? Okay. No. Just that. Fine. I mean, just to show you how much I'm sweating or anything. No? You don't need that? Don't want that?
Did you?
No? Okay. Why would
we? What about this bike you bought, or you said you bought, this alleged bike?
Yeah.
You really bought one?
Yeah.
Do you have a helmet?
No.
Okay.
Who did I see? Somebody famous just got in a bad bike accident. No. Biking. The chef, Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
And then Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. You know what? I wonder if
out
that's
in the Hamptons.
You got to think that cop is like, oh my God, dude, you're not gonna believe who I busted.
Well, the Hamptons, pretty good chance you're gonna get somebody kind of famous out there. So
yeah,
I don't know. But he pleaded not guilty. I don't even know what it is.
How can you be not guilty if it's?
I think they.
In your blood system and stuff.
I don't know.
I don't know if they took blood. I think he failed.
Well, the reports are saying that there's.
Well, I remember Billy Joel lived up there too, and remember that's when he led to his sobriety. He got in that really bad car accident, went off the road, hit a tree, and that really.
And then Christie Brinkley left him, didn't she? Right after that.
Yeah,
I think she did.
Over a DUI.
Well, just in general, he was, drinking a lot.
He was, laid up in bed. No good at her. So
how did he get Christie Brinkley?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. She still looks fantastic.
Well, listen, I mean, she gives hope to everybody out there, doesn't it?
I know. She's like the female me.
She's like the female you?
Yeah.
How is that?
Doesn't really age. You know what I mean? What?
Let me go grab the picture in the other room.
Right.
John.
Well, that was super touched up, but still, your high school picture.
No, I'm just saying. But, But you got to think that cop, when he had to make a call home. Hey, babe.
Did you think he was bragging?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. Guess who I've got in the back of my car?
I wonder, it'd be fun to.
Who's your favorite singer?
Read the report.
Justin Timberlake? Yes.
Did you get his autograph?
His autograph.
Right here on the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Timberlake was like, one of those, do you know who I am? Or if he was like, hey, look.
Don't you know who I am type thing? Yeah. I can't see him being that way, are you?
No, not really.
I don't think so either.
But
I'm a little surprised, Jim, that you know so much about Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, me too.
Typically, I know.
I couldn't name one of his songs. He was at the Super Bowl one time, and I read it this morning before I came to work.
So, did you meet him?
No, I don't care for him.
Were you at the Super Bowl where he did the thing with Janet Jackson?
No, wasn't that. No.
What do you think about that, Todd? Was that staged?
Yes.
I would have to say it was.
They fake so much. They could accidents. But Jim, that's rehab.
That's a huge fine.
That killed us in radio for a few years. that, because then all of a sudden things got to start. Okay, it's going to be $10,000 if somebody swears or somebody does something indecent. I mean, we had to kick comedians. You can ask Murph about this. We had to kick comedians out of our studio who were a little too whatever, because if it was borderline. Do you remember the, was it the Taming of the Shrews? It was these shrews, these two women who were real. And then another one we had to kick out of the studio was Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who I really like, but I would never trust her on a radio
show.
No,
not on a live radio show. So but
that was.
We had to be so careful after that. You can't believe it.
Because the fines.
Yep.
But the rules hadn't really changed. I mean,
but they were just going to enforce them now.
Okay, so the enforcement became, yeah, well, yes. That's good.
It was crazy for a few years.
Well, why have a law if you're not going to enforce it?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, it just, for radio, we were out because we were told basically if it happens, it's our fault. You know, the people on air, and we were going to be the ones that were going to pay the consequences for it. So, yeah, that was a bad thing when Janet Jackson did that. I think she knew what she was doing all along. I really do.
Do I?
But that Justin Timberlake didn't.
Oh, I don't know if I believe that. I
really?
Think if they were in on it, I think it was a duel.
Absolutely.
He seems like too nice of a guy. And he's got Jessica Biel at home, who, by the way, was born in Vermilion, Minnesota.
Well.
Which is where Ely Community College is, where I played my first game. Isn't that something?
I'm sure she's proud of that.
I might have played against her dad or something. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
All right. So the other thing I read, you know, I always read the news before when I get up at that 1440, but which is the news source. How about, you know, there's something, and Trump is really going to bring this to light, is the what's the word I'm looking for, the flaws in our judicial system, right? He's going to really, he talks about these judges, it should be more of a committee, one guy shouldn't have all this power. He talks about the DAs, but there's something wrong with our judicial system when a guy gets sentenced to more than 2,000 years in prison.
Who was that?
The guy who shot up those people in Colorado. I don't know how many people he. I should know this. You know what I mean?
2,000 years.
Well, come on.
Yeah,
but you also just said, "Why have a law if you're not going to
enforce it?"
And,
right.
And these might be these might be the thresholds for what he did. Right. I mean, obviously he's not going to live that long, but if that's the threshold, if it's X number of years for this and X for that.
Well, you know what? I don't understand when somebody gets the death penalty, how they can go for 15 years before it's carried out.
All of that.
I don't
the guy sentenced to 190 years and he just got another 2,000 years. I don't, to me, something is like, I don't know if that calls for, you're right. What does that call for? If that the law is the law and they're just piling this stuff on, but I don't know that, I don't really want to get into the death penalty, but I'd be okay with that.
Well, does anybody have it anymore? It's do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The lethal injections down in Texas. And Mississippi and Alabama, some of those places. I thought it was terrible when, because nobody deserved the electric chair or the gas, whatever they got,
Sparky?
more than Charles Manson and his people. I really believe it. I mean, there's a million murders going on, and everybody that murders somebody, you know, I had a good friend who was murdered, but still, and they changed it right then. The state of California made it illegal. Charlie Manson should have fried. I'm sorry. He should have fried. Don't you agree?
No argument here on no, none, zero. I mean, and I'm Catholic, and my brother complains that I'm okay with it, and it's not an eye for an eye. It's just, I wonder if justice.
People, we'll do a quick poll.
Johnny, that they're going to eat quick in Wisconsin?
Poll. Yeah, in Wisconsin. Which way?
It ain't going to happen.
No, quick poll, which people would want. Do you want the death penalty or no?
They'll say no.
They'll say no in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see.
I don't know. Todd, what do you think?
I think it's 50-50. I don't know.
Let's find out. Quick poll. How do I text Todd?
Well, we shouldn't have got on this. 2,000 years in prison or the death penalty?
Yes. All right. Just throwing it out there.
Okay,
all right, we're going to set a quick break. We're going to set a quick break. Mind on the Mayor, back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the executive director of Block joins us. Angela Lang will be here in hour number two, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
If you sail or enjoy water sports, why not consider a donation to International Youth Sailing of Oshkosh? at Miller's Bay on Lake Winnebago. This group has passionately built a community of recreational sailing for kids and families in northeastern Wisconsin for 16 years. A donation from you would help us to continue to educate and enrich the lives of children in Oshkosh through sailing. To make a donation or to volunteer, please visit us at sailoshkosh.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.